Let's talk to Hannah Correll now. She's a neuropsychologist, and we cross to her each fortnight to talk about the role psychology plays in many areas of our lives. Hi, Hannah.
Hey, Jesse. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Yeah. And we're going to talk about resolutions and why they stick and why they sometimes don't. What is a psychologist's perspective on New Year's resolutions?
I hate them. They suck. I hate them so much. You know why I hate them? Because they're loaded with media hype for, you know, you hear common misconceptions. People love to say, takes 21 days to build a new habit. That's not true. That's not true at all. That's a misconception of the research.
It's catchy,
and
though.
It is catchy, and that's why I think we get these misconceptions.
Yeah.
So what it leads to is people creating unfeasible, unrealistic goals that they inevitably fall short of. They feel like they feel sad after they have fallen short. They feel like a failure, and they give up. When in actual fact, if we set our goal to be much more realistic over a much longer period of time, we're way more likely to achieve them.
So how do we approach something like, I'll pick a couple, drinking less alcohol, losing a bit of weight. How do we approach that realistically then?
Yeah. Look, I think the key here is remember the term all or nothing mentalities. And that's what people commonly fall into. This is a common pitfall of all or nothing, which is all mentality is tomorrow I'm going to wake up, I'm going to go to the gym three times a day, I'm going to only eat salad, or I'm going to cut out 100% alcohol, I'm going to cut out all of it, and I'm going to be perfect as of tomorrow. And then as soon as you inevitably slip up and you have, you know, that one drink, or you don't go to the gym that day, or you get tired and you stuff up, then we flick over like a pendulum swinging all the way to the other side, like Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball swinging to the other side of the spectrum, and we do nothing. And we go, oh, I might as well have the whole pizza because I stuffed up and had a piece. Or I might as well not go to the gym because I've already failed. Or I might as well have a massive night out on the booze because I had one drink already. So we end up flicking between being absolutely perfect and then throwing it all to the wind when we stuff up. So my advice is don't let perfection be the enemy of good enough. Good enough is good enough. So if you manage to do it once a week going to the gym, set the bar really, really low. I'm going to cut out one drink a week, and I'm going to slowly increase that. I'm going to get a bit of momentum. Past behavior predicts future behavior. So if you can sort of set yourself up to get a bit of momentum, it's like pushing a car, Jesse. You know, when your car's broken down, you got to push it to get it to go. And initially it's so hard to push it. And then once you start moving, it gets a bit easier, a bit easier, a bit easier. And the car goes faster, faster, faster. Instead of being perfect, start with the bare minimum and then work your way up from there.
I love that. And we've talked a bit about forming good habits on this show. And one of the ones that sort of sticks with me, and I can't credit who came up with this, even though I'd like to, is that each decision that you make is a kind of vote for the sort of person that you want to be. So, in fact, it's not about this black and white kind of changing your whole being overnight into a, quote, good person. It's about all those opportunities in a day where you get to decide whether to do one thing or another, just putting a vote in for the fit person or the person who's lost a bit of weight or the person who doesn't drink so much. And it means that actually if you miss one decision, you've got another one coming up.
Exactly. And it's another opportunity to practice being your best self. And I would say a good way of helping that part of your brain to encourage that new self and who you want to be, treat your brain like a toddler, right? Show them the reward. Put a chart up in your house of how many days you managed to succeed and how many days you slipped up, so you can see how you've made your progress. Take a photo of yourself each day, and it's much easier for your brain to continue to invest in something when it can start to see the return on the investment. So if you see you've got 5 days in a row where you've ticked, yep, I haven't had alcohol today, I haven't had alcohol today, I haven't had alcohol today, and you're ticking that box, when you get to the weekend, you can see, I've got five ticks. And you're much less likely then on that sixth day or that seventh day to want to give up on that lovely little streak of yours. And so what we're doing is we're building ourselves this positivity, and we're basing our goals on something that make us feel happy. And we're much more likely to do things when we feel like they're making us happy, rather than the shame and the guilt that sets in when we feel like we've failed our goal.
Is January 1st a useful time to make a change?
I think it's one thing I like about New Year's resolutions is it offers us the opportunity for a revision and a shake-up and a spring clean. I like that. I like being able to look in and go, where can I do a little bit better this year? Where do I wish I did a bit better last year? You know, if I could change where I was today, having done something different over the last 12 months, what would it be? You know, maybe just going to the gym once a week. People think that's not good enough. Once a week isn't good enough. But actually, if you went to the gym once a week last year, you would have gone to the gym 52 times. 52 times. And even if you fell short a few times, even if it was 10 weeks you didn't go, you still would have gone to the gym 40 times. That's a lot of times, right? So setting those realistic goals that aren't, you're not biting off more than you can chew, and giving yourself kind of a goal that you can, it's easy. Set the bar as low as you possibly can so it's really easy to achieve it. And then once you're achieving that regularly, then you can dial it up a little bit and do the volume up a little bit, go a little bit harder. Okay, last week I cut out all beer, you know, and I managed to just stick to having wines. This week I'm going to try to cut down how much wine I'm having. And then in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to cut down on having wine during the week. And then 3 weeks' time, I'm going to cut down on having wine on weekends. And you're slowly, incrementally changing that. So by the end of the year, instead of having a bottle of wine a week, you've ended up having a bottle of wine a month. And that's a great goal. That's a great goal for you.
Hannah, I always feel so much more optimistic after talking to you. Thank you for your counsel today. Great to chat to you, and looking forward to more good chats through 2023.
Me too. And all the best to everyone in New Zealand at the moment. We're thinking of you.
Dr. Hannah Correll.